Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
How do mental health professionals work to bring their services to us? Let's go in depth with mental health counselors Cheryl Garland with Integrative Counseling Solutions, Knoxville and Des Moines, and Michelle Curtis with Avenues of Ottumwa. Well, Cheryl, you and Michelle are both very interested in bringing counseling services to where people are, be it the workplace, the home, I presume, schools, is that right?
Absolutely. We've been breaking down barriers to delivering mental health services to Iowans now for 9 years. And so Michelle does it in the workplace, and that has been a very effective program for many, many years, and 10 years exactly. Mm-hmm. And we have been delivering school-based mental health services for 9 years and serving Knoxville, Pella, Pleasantville, and Prairie City, Monroe. We also see adults, couples, and families in our office in Knoxville. And so we go where the clients are to make it easier for them to access services, but they also have the option of coming into the office.
Michelle, you work in the workplace.
Yeah.
Explain it to me, please. Do you just sit in an office with people? They come by, they make appointments. Hey, I've got this issue. Or how does it work?
Yes, that's correct. I go in once a week and I have a confidential office within the plant, and I interact with employees there, and they have the option to make an appointment with me, or they can drop by if my door is open, then they're able to come in and see me. The other thing that I do is I also work with leaders to help them with employee problems and other issues that they might face. So I'm working with the whole company and within the Knoxville plant. So this is a part of a broader program that 3M has for all of the production plants that they have in all of their businesses.
Okay, so 3M recognizes that mental health is important and that a whole lot of people need occasional consultation or regular
yes.
consultation, but the company will work and perform better if you deal with it rather than act like it doesn't exist.
Yes, that's correct. 3M believes that if their employees are able to get help for personal problems, that they'll be healthier, happier, more productive employees. So they're very proactive about the way they bring mental health services to the employees.
Yeah, and you may as well deal with it there. And then you know it's being dealt with, you know that it's easy for the person.
Yes.
Is there, how about issues of privacy? Is that a concern? Or, suppose somebody say, oh, I saw him walking into Michelle's office the other day. Must be something going on. And
right.
Does that happen?
It is a concern, but all information that's shared is completely confidential and it's covered under the privacy laws, and so there's not any concern from the person delivering the services breaking confidentiality, but there is visibility of the office. So, but what we try to do is we try to normalize mental health, and we try to not make it a concern that someone might walk into the office of a mental health provider.
Normalizing it, I like that word. It's mm-hmm. like when I was growing up, it was sort of something that everybody hid, but now, mm-hmm. but that's not healthy, hiding at all, right?
Right. Well, and I say normal is a setting on a washing machine, but we definitely want to break down the stigma and encourage people to seek whatever kind of help they need when they need it. We're holistic human beings, and the mind is connected to the body, and if there's something going on with the body, it might affect the mind, and if there's something going on with the mind, it might affect the body. So the more we can normalize that, the better off I think we will all be as a society if we're willing to get help for whatever condition we might have, and if help is available. Mm-hmm. So that's really what Michelle and I are all about, is making sure that help is available to people when they need it and they want it. And that's what prompted me to start going into schools and offering services there so that kids could access those services and get back to class, which is why they're in school. Prior to our coming to Knoxville, Brian McNeil will tell you that the kids were, you know, seen in Des Moines, and it would be a half a day at least that, you know, between the travel time and, you know, once they're going to be up in Des Moines, there might be a few other things that need to be done that day. So by bringing the services to school, hopefully we're getting kids back to class.
Well, and the expense of the travel to Des Moines.
Good
and
point.
All of that.
Absolutely. Not everybody has the ability to get to Des Moines, but that's where most of the mental health professionals are. And so now we currently have 12, soon to be 13, licensed therapists driving down to Knoxville to see people. And we have 4 skill development counselors that are also providing services at home, at school, and in the office. And they teach anger management, coping skills, relaxation skills, problem solving, conflict resolution, family communication, pro-social communication. In addition to that, we have Dr. Fialkoff, our psychiatrist, is down here one day a month. And we use the video teleconferencing to bring him here so that people don't have to drive to West Des Moines to see him. And he is our psychiatrist. He's also board certified in child psych, which is very, very rare. There are only about 30 of those in the state of Iowa for 99 counties. So we're definitely in need of more psychiatrists, and more specifically, child psychiatrists. But on the outpatient mental health side, I think we're getting much closer to meeting the needs here in Marion County for outpatient mental health services for adults and children.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with mental health counselors Cheryl Garland and Michelle Curtis. Now, does everybody have an idea about what might be wrong? Let's say, you know, some things are pretty clear. You know, let's just say husband and wife aren't getting along. That's pretty clear what the problem is. But how about if I just walk in and say, things just don't feel right. I don't feel like myself. How do you, and I don't know how else to express it than that. How do you dig down into that?
Well, first of all, I think every client that comes in to see me is going to go through a pretty comprehensive assessment. So as we process through that assessment, we're going to identify what might potentially be going on with someone. As you do an assessment that includes mental health possible symptoms, physical symptoms, those kinds of things, you should be able to identify what's going on with a person.
Okay, so how about if I'm a boss and I can tell pretty well that somebody, one of the employees, has a drinking problem, say. Now, how do I handle that as a boss? Do I say, hey, you've got a drinking problem, get it corrected, or you're out of here? Or I guess it depends upon the personality of the boss, the company, their relationship. This is all very complex.
Sure, it would depend on the boss's personality, but I think best practices would be to learn how to do an employee assistance referral, and that's something that I train leaders in, is when you identify or think you identify something going on with an employee, how to refer them to me in the appropriate way. So when it comes to drug and alcohol use, that can be a little more complicated. There's the suspicion that might be going on, and then there's actual violations where people have a positive drug test, and that's handled a little bit differently in terms of what's required of them. 3M makes a lot of attempts to save an employee's job and to help them to get the help that they need. So.
Well, it's not just saving their job, it might be saving, you know, the relationships, the family, their life, maybe.
Yes.
And how about with kids? Let's say I'm a teacher and I've got this kid that's just causing lots of trouble. I mean, how do teachers come to you and they describe it, or do you go to the parents first? How does that work?
Referrals to our program are typically made through the school guidance counseling office or the principal's assistant principal's office. If they become aware that a student is in need of services, they have our brochures, they make them available to offer this as one option the parents might like to look into. And parents sometimes are pretty happy to hear that those services are available at school, but if they prefer the services be at the office, that's also fine. But the school is a conduit, so to speak, for people who whose children may be having difficulty. The teacher might identify to the school guidance counselor that they're concerned about the student's behavior, and the guidance counselor can take it from there. And they're trained on how to best get services for the student as well.
But what if I'm a parent that my student, there's nothing wrong with my child. My child doesn't need any help. They just, you know, it's the teacher's fault. Do you ever get any of that?
Well, I think I can say, you know, as a parent, sometimes we can be in denial about what's going on with our student. And so we have seen it all pretty much in 9 years, to be honest with you. And I'd say that sometimes people need a little bit of coaxing to take a look at what's honestly going on with their child. It may mean that, you know, we're there if they need us. I mean, it's always a parent's choice, and we cannot make them do that. But sometimes a child's behavior comes to a level where they're going to be hearing a lot from the administration about that behavior, to the point where they might welcome having some help.
Yeah, and you might just say, I mean, maybe you wouldn't say it like this, but you'd say, Bob, get real. There's an issue here. You can deal with it, or there's going to be lots of problems down the road.
Right, and that's usually the guidance counselor's role, and they're very expert at their jobs and do, you know, have their way of working with parents. But it ultimately, it is the parents' decision, just as it's your decision about your children and my decision about mine, whether we're going to get them help and where we're going to get them help.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with mental health counselors Cheryl Garland and Michelle Curtis. Have you noticed any trends over the years since you've been in practice, different things rising that are an issue now that weren't when you started?
That's a good question. You know, I think that drugs and alcohol, that there has been a rise in that. But I also think it's been related to awareness. And so as we've worked on increasing the awareness of that, not only from the employee standpoint, but from a supervisor leader standpoint, then I think we see more of that. So I really haven't seen a trend in terms of mental health over the past 10 years. It's pretty much been the same.
I would say that the awareness of trauma and its impact on people has really been the biggest change that I've seen since I started in the profession. And we're now going into schools and educating on trauma-sensitive schools and trying to help them understand that it's not what's wrong with the child, but what has happened to the student. And as we do that paradigm shift, I think we will find more compassion, that professionals will be more curious about how they can best help that child. They'll look at the student differently if they're trained properly in identifying that a child's reaction may be due to trauma. And so we are actively involved with our schools in doing professional development on that subject, and also on suicide prevention. And so whenever a school that we work with requests that we do training, we will come in and do that as a community service to our schools.
And so has trauma sort of risen to the top of concerns because it's just getting on people's radar? There's been more research, or is it because there's more trauma?
That's always the question, isn't it? And I don't have research to give me a definitive answer on that.
Your impression?
I do think there's more trauma. I also think that we are more aware of it today. We have the ACEs study that is a longitudinal study, multi-state study that we're looking at the number of adverse childhood experiences that a person may have had. So my parents were divorced, therefore I have one adverse childhood experience. But some people have many, and it has been shown if you have five or more adverse childhood experiences, you are likely to have mental health problems and other negative things can happen. So it's an indication that a person would benefit from treatment. And the ACEs study is available online if you just Google that, if you're interested in knowing what those ACEs are, but divorce just being one example. And so children having been exposed to a variety of different traumas can, you know, come into life with a fair amount of baggage, we might say. And so that's what we help them with.
And we hear this all the time, mental health problems. Now, I'm thinking that some of those problems, some of them maybe can be solved, but some of them are just mitigated and helped, and maybe life is better with counseling to deal with those issues?
Well, to give you an example, I'm trained in eye movement desensitization reprocessing, which is a type of trauma treatment, and many of our other therapists are trained in other types of trauma treatment. And we don't erase the memory of the trauma. You're still going to know that something happened to you, but we change the way you think about it. We help a person to reduce their reaction to the trauma and how much it bothers them. So those would be goals for treatment. So they come away feeling better overall, even though something may have happened that we can't change the incident, whatever it might be. But we can help you cope with it better.
So I guess the lesson today is that if you're thinking right now, as you're listening, if you're thinking, hey, maybe I should call and set up an appointment to talk with a mental health professional wherever I am, that if you're thinking about it, you probably should.
If you need help, we'll be there to help you. And that's why our phone number is 641-842-HELP in Marion County. And I'm sure that if you need somebody through 3M Company, they know how to connect you with Michelle Curtis as well. And that's why we all went into this profession, to help people. So please do call if you need help.
Thanks to Cheryl Garland and Michelle Curtis for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.